Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs, and we are going to jump into a very difficult section of Proverbs. We are going to be taking one large chunk, as I didn't feel that I wanted to spend 3 or 4 more weeks on this particular topic, which is the next section of Scripture. There's enough there to go that long, but I didn't want to spend that much time there. So we'll be starting with Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp, this teaching a light, and the correction of discipline are the way to life. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. Not one who touches her will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet, if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all of the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call upon understanding your kinsmen. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife and her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down a street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. At twilight, as the day was fading, as dark of night set in, then out came the woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows, so I come out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not home. He is gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for these words of caution, correction, and discipline. Lord, help us to seek and find wisdom Help us to be strong, to stay away from temptation, and to keep from being foolish. But instead, Lord, might we be wise by following Your wisdom and abiding by the leading of Your Holy Spirit, and not the hungers of the flesh. Father, we ask now that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to open up these Scriptures to us, to show us, each one, what applies to our lives. Lord, there are some here who this passage might be hitting them like I'm beating on them with a baseball bat. Lord, I pray that You would grant those people enough relief so that they would be able to hear that this comes in love. Lord, there are others who are hearing this passage and saying, this has nothing to do with me. Father, open their hearts and minds to understanding, to see that yes, it does. It does indeed apply to each and every one of us. There is not one who can stand aside and say that You are not speaking to them in these passages. So, Father, I ask that You would give me the words to say this morning, that I might speak those words in love and in power, and that it would be Your truth which encourages and directs Your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a huge passage, chunk of Scripture that I carved out here. But it all is dealing with adultery. Now remember, 2 weeks ago when we first talked and had the adulteress introduced to us, we had this interlude last week about some other ways that we need to walk straight with the Lord. But 2 weeks ago we started on the adulteress. And I brought out the fact that God sees our relationship with Him as that of a husband and wife. And any time we're not giving Him the full attention, that we stray, if we worship someone else, we have committed adultery against the Lord. That's the way He sees it. That's what it does, the way He feels in His heart. The same way you or I would feel if our spouse were to be in an affair. The Lord feels that and more. Now these words here are, my son, keep your father's commands. Do not forsake your mother's teachings. Bind them on your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Later it tells us that we're to keep these commands while you live. Guard them, the teachings they apply. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. We're supposed to be taking God's word and committing them so that we can remember them. Putting those reminders there that help us to stay straight. We were commenting on our road trip down to Wabasha, where the elders and I went on our retreat. And just for the record, this was another blessing, God's blessing for us. We were provided this facility for free. So God is looking out for us and providing wonderful things. But as we're on our way down to Wabasha to go on this retreat, we were commenting on how Minnesota probably has some of the best marked roads, because George had just been out on a trip to Maine, and he'd been through Canada and Michigan and New York and Pennsylvania and many Illinois places in between Wisconsin, and that the road markers are probably Minnesota is probably one of the best places. Now, I don't know if that has to do from the fact that Minnesota actually does mark things the best, or whether or not it has something to do with the fact that these are Minnesotans and they're familiar with how Minnesota marks the map, marks roads. Could be a little bit of both. However, the purpose of the road signs is to keep us going the right direction. And these instructions to bind them on our fingers, to put them around our neck, to write them on our heart, is so that we always have these reminders in front of us saying, go this way. God's grace directs you over here. This is the way to God's love. This is the way which God has commanded us to go. That is what these are for. Because the fact of the matter is that adultery, whether we're talking about the adultery of relations between a man and a woman not married to each other, or we're talking about adultery of us, God's people, not worshiping Him, but giving someone else our worship. Either one of those, we need to be committed to finding ways to stay on that path so that we don't fall down that. Because there are consequences. Now remember, Christ told us we can sin by thought, word, deed. In fact, we can sin by the omission of doing that which we know is right. So we need these reminders to help to keep us straight, because when we do fall down these paths, we will be hurt. We will be damaged. Originally, I was planning on doing a couple of object lessons this week, but I had a full week, and then with my back here, when I came home, I just wasn't up to getting the preparations done. But what I was going to do was have a fire up here and say, now, who wants me to put some burning embers in their lap? Well, none of us would do that because we know we'd be hurt. I don't know about you, but I don't like being burned. It hurts. You say, well, that's foolish. That's silly, Pastor. Of course it would. That's the point. God is trying to tell us that when we listen to the lies of the adulteress, the seductress, or seductor, for you women, we are being led astray into an act or action which is going to harm us. There will be a penalty. There will be pain involved. Not just a cost. Here's a dollar. I'm going to pay. Okay, I'm all done. But a cost for which we can't even bribe our way out, no matter how much we throw on the table. We're going to have to pay the penalty. And the penalty is steep. It's hurtful. Not that there can't be healing and restoration. Please, God's grace and mercy is great. However, He brings discipline in our lives and allows us to go through difficult times. Why? Because it strengthens us. Because it teaches us. Because we can learn from it. If God was to take away all the pain from that action, why wouldn't we go do it again? Why wouldn't we say, hey, that wasn't so bad? So he doesn't. He leaves it there so that we can learn the lesson from it, so that we can have the memory, which will help to bind it on our fingers, put it around our neck, write it on our hearts, so that we can stay to the path of wisdom, God's Word, God's blessing, which He has for us each and every day. The world teaches us or tries to seduce us into ideas which are just lies. The one who leads us into immorality, whether we're talking just that spiritual sense between us and God or that physical act, which also does include God, please remember that when we sin against our spouse in an adulterous affair, God is the only other person that is involved in that marriage, and we sin against Him too. Now, when we do that, I'm trying to be gentle and not beat anybody up. But when we step into those relationships, we are walking to our own destruction. If I took a revolver and I filled every chamber with a bullet and I laid it down and I said, "Let's play Russian roulette." You would say, "That's not Russian roulette, that's suicide. I don't want to do that." I mean, Russian roulette, you know, there's a chance, you know, if you take at least one shot. Normally, it's a stupid game. It's playing with death. But if there's a chance I may not die, people say, "Well, maybe go for that." Well, today's handguns, you put a clip in. Even if I took out, only had one round in the gun, it's still going to be the... It's still going to get me, and that's kind of what it is. This is going to get us. If we fall into adultery, again, whether we're talking the marital or the spiritual with God, where we're giving somebody else our worship, now you say, "Well, what do you mean giving somebody else?" If I put money before God, I'm committing adultery. If I put anything in place of position above our Father in heaven, I have made it superior to God. Therefore, that's what I'm worshiping. The world is trying to seduce us. You see this phrase here? "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple." That's us. "And I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment." Again, how many of us has that not applied to at some time or other? Where we've lacked judgment. And we come to the point where the seduction comes, saying, "But it's love." People, what is the definition of love? Selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another. That's not love. That's feeding of physical desires and hungers. It's sensuality perverted. It's God's gift perverted and stolen and misused and abused. Yet the world is out there trying to take us, to get us to turn away from God, to get us to turn away from our spouse, saying, you know, it's okay, everybody does it. It's for love. No, if you truly love someone, you wouldn't do something which would cause them harm. That's what benevolent means. You do what's best for them. Selfless, you do it, you put their needs above your own. It's loyal, you stick with them even when they're being nasty to you. That's where God loves us. He was selfless. He came himself as the Son. He was loyal. It was our sin which crucified him. We didn't exactly treat him well. He was benevolent. He did what was best for us. Even though at the time the people were telling him, no, don't do it. Because he loves us. The world is trying to take us and get us to step into that path of adultery. And when we lack our judgment, when we're not leaning on the Lord, it's like we hit a stupid switch. And wisdom goes out there, and we allow our appetite to lead us. I've hit my stupid switch many a time in my life. We want to keep that switch not engaged. Not be simple. Because what happens is the seduction comes. And with pervasive words, she led him astray and seduced him with her smooth talk. And all at once, the decision's made. He followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Now, I was seriously considering putting together or showing a video of an ox being led to the slaughter. But I was told by everybody who I talked to that, Pastor, you're going over the line there. But I want you to take that picture which is put here. God didn't put that picture here to be gentle with us. As the deer that's been caught in the noose is shot in the liver with an arrow. Not even a quick death or a painless death, but a painful one. And like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost it its life. It's dangerous. That's the point. Her house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. People, when we step into the world of sin, into adultery, whether we are talking of that, again, of the physical relationship between a husband and wife, or we're talking about the spiritual relationship of us and God, either one of them, we are on the highway to the grave. It's going to cost us dearly. It's going to be painful. And the suffering will be deep and long. Let's pray. Father God, help us each one to remember your words. To have those pictures and those warnings of the cost come to our hearts and minds when that seductor comes to try to lead us away from you and your will. Lord, might we keep our marriage beds pure. Might we keep our relationship with you, Lord, pure. Might we allow none to take the place of our spouse, and might we allow none to supersede and take your place in our lives. Lord, you indeed are our King. And we ask now that You would write on our hearts and cause us to bind on our fingers and on our around our necks and to place those things in our lives which will remind us the cost that what it will cost if we stumble and we submit ourselves to the seductress and we submit to the temptation. And if we fall into this trap, we will indeed be like the ox going to slaughter, like the deer stepping in the noose till the arrow pierces its liver, like the bear darting, like the bird darting into the snare. Lord, we don't want to be like that. So Lord, stop up our ears to the murmurings of seduction. Lord, give us eyes only for our spouse. Give us a heart which will worship only You. We pray this in Jesus' precious, most holy name. Amen.